Morning, everybody, or afternoon. I want to. Donk, should we just. I forgot about the video. Maybe we should do that first. As we draw near, Lord, to you, that you draw near to us, God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege, God, of being co-laborers, God, of you calling us co-laborers in the harvest, God. And Lord, this afternoon, Lord, come and stir our hearts, God, with what's on your heart, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great. Okay, I'm going to... Do you have a bit of feedback from the conference? And then from some other things, it's going to be a lot of feedback, but I think it's necessary from time to time just to talk about what's going on and what's coming up. It was a great blessing to be able to go to the conference, in the pastor's conference in India. It was last minute. I was a couple months before I thought I should go, and then with lots of stuff happening and this and that, I didn't see it was going to happen, and then I kind of left it, and then literally like a week and a half before, I felt the conviction in intercession of the Lord, dear, let's just see if it's still possible. And in the past, we've had really lots of issues for South African passports getting an Indian visa, so I expected it wouldn't be possible, but I thought, let me try my German passport. And it was amazing. There was a could get a visa on arrival, which is amazing. But I still had to apply in advance. So you had to apply 4 working days in advance, which that cutoff also missed. So by the time I had my application in, it was Saturday evening about 9:30, including a photograph which I took of myself in the bathroom with my phone. So it was all like very rushed. And I thought, well, this is going to be an absolute miracle, because I was supposed to fly on the Tuesday. And I thought, well, if God wants me there, it's going to be a miracle to get this visa. And amazingly, after submitting it on the Saturday evening, I got an apply on Sunday afternoon, 1:30. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've never heard of anybody processing visas between Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. But anyway, that was amazing, so I ended up going. Thanks so much for all the prayer, everybody that helped in prayer support from this side. It was a great blessing. And I must say, just knowing and experiencing the whole Shofar movement covering the conference in prayer was really incredible. In the past, being on mission in India, even though we've had people fasting and praying for us daily, that you do experience the demonic activity, you do experience the darkness. But this time it was really incredible just to experience the blessing of the prayers covering us from all the Shofar churches. So yeah, thanks so much, guys, for standing with us. Just in terms of the background, this is our vision statement. This is why we do what we do. I'm gonna show you some photos just to add to the video. So the Himalaya area is amazing, because the major world religions come together there. You've got the obviously the Hindu influence from India, and you've got the Muslim influence from the Pakistan side and the Middle East. Then you have the Buddhist and atheist influence from China and Nepal and from Bhutan and those sides. So it's as if all the major world religions come together in the Himalaya region. And also more than a third of the world's population, between India and China and the countries surrounding, it's more than a third. It's crazy, eh? But so it's a really significant area. And in the Himalaya region specifically, more than 1,000 people groups, tribes that have never heard the name of Jesus, that have completely unreached with the gospel. And this is where these guys are working, and this is why it's such a privilege to work with them. We're supporting them financially on a monthly basis. Some of those guys, almost in the form of a salary or at least some support monthly. We've also now started supporting them with equipment. because they literally go by foot into the mountains. A lot of these guys travel, say, two or more days by foot to be able to get to the villages that they minister to. So they carry generators and projectors and screens because they're going to show the Jesus film. So we've sourced the CS when he left. He took with him from Amazon like a little mini projector like this and two like compact screens, because the screen they had was massive. I don't know how they carry that thing into the mountains. And then we sourced them a very nice compact generator, and we just want to build on that so that the guys can do their job with the right equipment. And we're also sending teams to support them. So there's a massive team from Stellenbosch going in either this month or next month, about 37 guys that are going from Stellenbosch, and they're going to be walking days into the mountains. So we're taking all the fit students and some scholars actually as well. So that's going to be exciting. We'll be praying for them. So just briefly, just to run through this. So there's a bunch of guys here. The guy on the left, I won't say all the names. I'll probably get them wrong. The guy on the left is from a Hindu background, and he's now planting churches in Hindu areas. Then the three guys and the guy on the end, on the left there, they are all students, are studying mostly theology. And amazing to see their commitment to the gospel. They're studying, and then any break they have, weekends, the holiday like they had then, is either mission or practical, which is also mission. So they're just on outreach most of the time. It's really amazing. Oh, so must I look that way? Oh, I see. Okay. No problem. I miss you guys. Don't worry. Doesn't everybody see my photos? Is it better? Okay. And just amazing to see how the guys just put everything in terms of to see the gospel preached, even while they're still studying. This is our pastor on the left from Port Elizabeth. And the man on the right, again, I can't remember all the names, but he had an amazing testimony. He was involved in a massive bus accident, and he was one of the casualties. And while they were there, they pronounced him dead on the scene, and then a couple of hours later, while they were moving the bodies, the person that was moving him realized that he's waking up. So the Lord obviously had a plan with him, even after being pronounced dead for a couple of hours. He just basically ministers the gospel with this amazing testimony of his, and he works with some of the most isolated groups in that area. So some on the Andaman Islands, which are so isolated that they're still, they basically classified as Stone Age tribes. They don't have fire, they don't have... They have very, very basic tools, so they don't have clothes. And some of the islands, they're still so remote and isolated that you can't go there, because they'll kill you, probably eat you. So it's not funny. The one pastor that was going there said he wants somebody to come with him, somebody preferably a bit bigger than he is, that they would eat him instead. Not in any case, but... they've been ministering to those guys, and because some of the islands have allowed people onto them, and some have taken fire there. The one island, apparently they brought them some fire and they use it, but they don't make it again. They just keep it going. So I just thought, if you're on fire duty and you fall asleep or something, or you miss it, then you're in big trouble, because then that's the fire no more. And then apparently sometimes, because they have no communication, they have guys had to learn the local language to minister to the guys. There's no written language. Sometimes when they arrive there to go minister to them, they look for them and for a week or more, and they don't find them. And then they go back. They try better next time, because it's just impossible to get hold of the guys. There's no like phones and stuff like that. In any case, it's really fascinating. Anyway, so one time he was ministering to a group. I think this group was actually on the river between Nepal and India, and he came there, and they were quite antagonistic towards him, quite aggressive. And the chief of the village said, "Listen, if your God is really the living God, why then surely He can heal my child who is lame." No pressure. So, and they were kind of, you know, deliver the goods or else type of thing. I don't know if they were planning to eat him, but they weren't very friendly. So anyway, so he went into the mountains to go and pray and fast, and he came back and he laid hands on the child, and the child was healed, and it had a massive effect on the whole tribe, because now the chief's child was healed, and so a massive transformation there. Anyway, so let me continue. Sorry, I don't know why, but everything I took in the portrait is lying on its side. I can't get it to stand up. It's crazy. Anyway, so. So the guy on the left was on the team. Look, he is very tall. Okay, but the guy on the right is not tall. Even CS felt tall because a lot of the guys there were not so tall. But this guy, I have to go and get all the names. I had them written down somewhere. He's 65. He's a grandfather, but he's the guy that does the follow-up in the mountains villages. So he walks on his own for days on end and goes into the mountains and goes and does the follow-ups in the little villages that receive the word. Really hardcore guy. He doesn't look it, but he's quite fit and able. Then we did on the day after the conference, we did an outreach in the village up on the mountain. I'm not sure why, but we chose the one right on top of the mountain. So it was, you know, I felt that I was going to die. It is just really hot and really steep and really long. But praise God we made it. But it's amazing to see, even though all Hindu and from a Hindu background, they were very open to hear. And we managed to pray for a lot of the guys, prayed for a lot of the children, prayed for people that were sick. And there's a group of the guys that we worked with are working there regularly, so it was just great to be able to partner with what they're doing there already. Okay, on the way back to Delhi on the train, 40 degrees, quite full, quite cozy there as well. I should have shown you the video clip. There was a nice video. Sias and I, and then this family, this pastor's name is Asang, his wife and children. They minister in the north of India in a place called Uttarkashi, I think it's called, in the mountains. And really crazy testimony and just an amazing way that most of these guys are laying down their lives for the gospel, how they just lay down everything. For instance, he's been in the area, a very strong Hindu area, a lot of resistance to the gospel. And the thing is that they have in the north of India, they have some areas where they have militant Hindus operate there. On the whole, Hindu religion is very peaceful, eh? Very peace-loving, very open to hear. But then you get these guys that are actually quite aggressive and militant, and so they would disrupt services and, you know, beat up the pastor and stuff like that. But this guy had been there around there for 12 years, ministering through the schools, ministering in youth, in sports, and different ways to connect with the community and doing amazing work. But he's only seen one family saved in that time. So it just shows you, you know, that there's a lot of seed that needs to be sown. And then what often happens, they find that there's key people that get born again. And then the whole village comes to salvation. But we're going to be praying for them specifically. So if you want to remember their faces, this is Asang and his family in Uttarkashi, if you want to remember that name. There's a lot of challenging things. One of the things that challenged me, I'm just going to give some more feedback, is the theme of the conference. In the West, we have amazing themes for Christian conferences. I don't know what was the women's conference from Hillsong. I don't know what the theme was there. But it's a lot to do with your relationship with God, which is great, obviously. Then there's maybe like your fresh anointing or the new fire, or there's all kinds of amazing themes that we have to kind of draw people to the conference. People think, yes, if I miss out on this, I'm going to lose out. So the theme for this conference was mission in the context of suffering, persecution, and martyrdom. Yeah. And crazy thing is, this is the reality for the guys. It's not wasn't weird for them to talk about that. And I was just so struck by, if we had to do something like that in London, we would probably have like three guys from church come. But for them, it was very relevant and very challenging to hear how they experience and ministering under those circumstances. And it's a reality for them. And so the one lady from Bhutan was saying, I think Sias mentioned it when he was here, that she was got all emotional about this and was just weeping in the front as she was sharing her story. And she was saying that in the days when there was still very heavy persecution in Bhutan, the church was thriving and there was really lots of growth happening. People were so hungry for God. But the new government that's come in, it's pulled back on the persecution. And it's basically the one minister actually made a public announcement that said, leave the Christians, don't persecute them. It's just, if you persecute them, it's like oil on the fire. But if you leave them, they will just rot from the inside. They will get lazy and apathetic and they will just kind of dwindle. And it seems that he's read some church history, because it's obviously what's happened in the past. But she was weeping and just kind of saying, you know, we missed the days of persecution because people were so hungry for God. People were so pushing into him and having to desperate for his presence, desperate for him, because everything else was so against him. And we experience similar things here in the UK, is where there's a large part of the church who are inactive and apathetic. So those are the real challenges. The lady also mentioned her mom. The mom was born again when she was healed, the lady from Bhutan. She was miraculously healed from a very serious illness, and they had this encounter with Christ. And after which she became basically a self-appointed missionary and just started telling people about Jesus, started reading the scripture. But she was very new to this whole thing, and she hasn't obviously grown up in Christianity. And she kept on going to share with people, and then people have questions, and she wouldn't know the answer. And she would say, just hang on, I'll go and ask Jesus, I'll come back to you tomorrow. You know. And then she would go and pray the evening, and apparently this happened a couple of times, that she would pray in the evening, and then Jesus would appear to her in a dream and explain the scripture to her. And then she would be able to go back to the people and say, Jesus said this, and this is what he said. And it's just amazing. It just challenged me that how often do we rely, yes, obviously we have amazing tools, we have amazing discipleship tools, but how often do we rather go to a book or something somebody wrote or opinion of man, and we don't actually engage God about his scripture and say, Lord, I don't get this. Please explain this to me, or help me to understand this. Really incredible to see what God is doing even in Bhutan as well. So we are going to do this more on a regular basis, annually, this conference. So if you're keen to join, put your faith out, start saving, and we might be able to take a team with next year. But we've got other opportunities as well. Oh, I forgot this actually at the first service, but I'll talk about the other teams coming a bit later. Then just very briefly, I was just reminded so much on the conference of this scripture, Matthew 19. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. And I was just so struck by the way people, the gospel and the sake of the kingdom consumes their lives. This pastor, in this picture, he was sent from Nagaland, which is an amazing part of India, right in the east, which is about 90% Christian, and they send out missionaries all over India and the surrounding countries. And he's been working in this Hindu area, and he was so excited to tell us that there was a piece of land available, and he trusted God to buy it. And he was so happy that he could sell his house and anything, the stuff they had left in Nagaland where he came from. He sold that so that he could buy this land and build a school on the land, so that he could minister to the community in a different way. And amazing just to see how the way that people just lay down their lives. And I was just encouraged and challenged with this scripture that even though those are nameless, faceless people, and even on the video you'll have seen some of them's faces were blurred out because of the sensitivity of their identity in terms of if it became known they would be in danger. So they're almost all really faceless in that way. But in eternal perspective, they are sowing precious seed, and it's really an example to see how, and something, you know, that we just to make a shift in terms of what is really of eternal significance. And that's something that I took from there. How often do we get so busy and distracted with things that have no eternal value and have no eternal significance, and how these guys are day and night laying down their lives in very difficult circumstances. But God does say, and His promise is 100-fold here, but also in eternity. Amen. I also want to just give a bit of feedback briefly from what's happening in Switzerland. We were there last weekend. This is now coming from one extreme to the other. India is a country of extremes, and it was very hot and it was not very clean in some places. Some other places was amazing. Beautiful place. But it's a country of extremes. And it's as if I came from India a couple of weeks ago and then ended up in Switzerland, which is on the other extreme. But the need for the gospel is just as urgent. When India things look sometimes disorderly and the roads are on a different, you know, it works a bit differently than we have here. You use your horn quite a lot, your hooter. It's instead of an indicator, you know, just warn people that you're on your way. But it's just chaotic there. And then Switzerland is the other extreme. It's just everything is in order. You have to ask permission to sneeze. And, you know, everything is just right and clean and very neat and orderly. But the urgency for the need for the gospel is just as big there. And it's just a very different ministry feel, very different context there. So we have these weekends about three or four times a year. And the local guys have committed now to step it up to a service every second month, which they will finance. So we're going to be sending guys from this side. So please keep praying for that. This is the team that went. Again, sorry about the sideways there. Andres was with us and Suzette and Meg. And this is the place we met. As you can see, it's very tough there to minister the gospel. It's a very beautiful area. In winter, it's white. But it's really beautiful. There. So if you're keen to join us in any of these, we're doing another weekend one in August. It's a week before the UK ministry camp or conference. And we'll do the smaller ones in between. So if you're keen to get involved, just let us know and we'll give you the dates and we can make a plan. You just trust God for a ticket, an air ticket, and then you can join. Amen. All right. Then the next one that's happening is there's a plant going from South Africa. That's where we are there, you see? South Africa. And they're planting in Utrecht in the Netherlands. And this is, some of you have met Darkian and his wife Renee. They are amazing people, also challenging you out of your socks. They are in a time of life where most people think about their spot at the seaside or retirement house or whatever place where they can spend their retirement. But they instead are packing up their things, they're selling their business, and they're funding themselves to go and plant a church in Utrecht. So it's just a different level of commitment to the kingdom, coming from a place where, like I said, most people will be thinking of retiring. So we're going to be praying for them. We're going to be supporting them as much as we can from here. It's actually close enough to drive. If you would want to drive through for a service, we might do that once or twice and take them some sound equipment that we have extra. But we're going to be praying for them and encouraging them and trusting God with them. Okay. In fact, if we can pray briefly now, we're going to pray for three things. My sermon's going to be very short. Okay, you guys can relax. We're going to pray for three things. We're going to pray for Asang and his family in Uttarkashi. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but that's okay. And we're going to be praying for the Switzerland group, and we're also going to be praying for Utrecht and the plant there. They're actually leaving on the 8th of July. So it's close now. We're trusting for provision for them. We're trusting for men of peace. We say, so let's quickly do that in pairs. Is that all right? Meg and BC, will you guys want to pray for Asang and his family? If they've, you four guys, if you guys, two can pray for Utrecht. And then Dong and I will pray for the Swiss guys. Is that all right? Let's just do it for 2 minutes, and then we'll continue. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we, as we partner in prayer and as we partner in other ways, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing through the shofar, Lord, and we thank you for the plants that are happening. We thank you that we are able to partner with guys that are truly ministering to the unreached, God, the final frontier of those that have not heard of Christ, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that for the privilege, Lord. And we pray for your blessing on the efforts in Zurich and in Netherlands and Utrecht and also in the Himalaya regions, Lord. And we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you fill us with greater boldness, Lord, and you go before us, God. And we thank you that as your word, as you promise, Lord, that you work with us, that you confirm your word with accompanying signs, God. Lord, let your kingdom come, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just briefly, I want to just connect with something Pastor Andries was sharing about at the leadership training. If you missed that, we hopefully have it online soon. So please look out for it and download that you can catch up. But he painted a picture of us as believers coming to salvation. The picture he was painting was about two kingdoms colliding. The kingdom of light advancing and the kingdom of darkness having to give way. And obviously where that collision happens, there's a battle. Battle for the souls of men. There's battle for lives. And the picture was painting was of us as you know, being saved on the battlefront, being saved, being rescued from the enemy, being set free, coming from darkness into light, coming from a place of bondage into a place of freedom, being healed, being restored, being renewed, being, you know, coming in from darkness into death into life. So we see that massive transformation happening. But the picture I was painting was that it's if we, after we've, you know, been saved and rescued and redeemed, etc., it's as if we move backwards from the battlefront and we go up, put up a nice little house somewhere on the countryside, and we're busy with very nice things and blessed things and seemingly important things, but we're no longer on the front line. We're no longer on the battlefield. And the question he was asking is, where do you find yourself? Where do you find yourself in the picture? Are you on the battlefront with Christ? Are you being prepared to go there? Are you maybe, have you been injured and receiving care, but still close enough so that once you're ready, you're back in there? Or are you in a place where there's a lot of other things that are happening and you're busy with a lot of things, blessed things and good things, but you find yourself not on the front anymore? And I just want to connect with the picture that he used a little bit. I'm just going to read, read from John 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we see that in the life of Christ very clearly. We see that he had a very clear mission, very clear focus when he was on the earth. And we see the same when we look at where he ministered to the woman at the well, and this came out in Pastor Sias' teaching and Pastor Andres. And I'm just going to quickly read from John 4. And at this point, this is after Jesus had become quite weak. He was in need of food, and they went through Samaria very specifically, and he stopped at the well, and the disciples went to go and collect food and buy food. And then in that time that they were away, he ministered to this lady. And go and read the whole thing again. It's very powerful how he ministers to her. And we can take some, and Andres spoke some about that as well. I just want to pick up on this last bit. On this last bit here. At this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. So that this, through the fact that she had an encounter with Christ, her whole city was impacted by her testimony. But then the key one I want to focus on here is, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? But behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. So we see this absolutely single-minded focus that he says, this is why I'm here. I came to seek and to save the lost. I came not to condemn, but to save. And he says, my food, what nourishes me, what sustains me, is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. And then very powerfully, he conveys an urgency around the harvest, saying that, you know, that if you had to plant and then you water, and if you go through the whole process, it would take 4 months or so, a couple of months. But he's saying to them, it's not 4 months anymore, it's now. Lift up your eyes. He's saying, look at the field, look at the harvest. It's not only ready, it's white. In other words, it's almost too late. There's an urgency. If we leave it any longer, it's going to start rotting. And this is what Andres was sharing around. And if you did miss it, please try and download it. But I just want us to connect with that in terms of, where do we find ourselves in the picture? Where do we find ourselves as a church? And where do we find ourselves as individuals in the harvest? And I could identify with the illustration Andres used one stage, and he was referring to him being a mountain biker, and I'd like a bit of mountain biking myself. I'm just getting back into it. Praise the Lord, it's summer. There's certain things that if you get to know somebody, there's certain things you only get to know about them if you connect with them in terms of what they really like or what they really love doing. So if you're connecting with Meg, you know, you have to go with her to watch the musical movies and enjoy the music or whatever. But or in my case, or in Anissa's case, you only get to know us in a certain way if you join us on the mountain bike trail. And to be honest, if I look at my son David, and I suppose Abigail is very welcome too. She also likes cycling. David has just started. He's got his little, you know, he's got this little, what do you call it, a push bike or something, and really enjoys it. But I'm really looking forward to a time where they'll be able to join me going mountain biking. I don't mind them playing other games. I don't mind David kicking balls and things. Egg-shaped ball is better than round one, but that's okay. He does pick it up sometimes, so maybe, you know, he gets it. But I don't mind them doing other things, but I would really love for them to be able to join me one day. And obviously, if they don't like doing it, then that's okay. But if I could take my son or my daughter with me to go mountain biking, that would be amazing. Because that's something I love. That's something I enjoy. And they can get to know me in a way there that they won't get to know me if we're doing other things. And with the Father, it's the same. With God the Father, and this is part of the picture that Anders was painting, is that if we are finding ourselves back from the battle line, it's not like God loves us less. He loves us the same. And He receives us the same, and He accepts us the same through the blood of Christ. Blesses us. But He's also inviting us. He says, I want you to see what we're all about. I want you to see what the family business is. I want you to see what I spend my time with. And there's something about God, there's something about the heart of God that we will only experience when we are with Him in the thick of things on the front line. In the same way that, you know, that I would love my children to be with me on a mountain bike, it's obviously not significant. But there's a desire for God that is inviting us to say, my children, come. I want you to experience my passion. I want you to experience my heart. I want you to experience what this family business is all about. And I bless you there at the back, and that's great, but I want you to come here. I want you to come to the front. I want you to join. I want you to see. I want you to experience my heart and my passion. And there's the invitation, I believe, is for us as a church and for us as individuals to say, okay, Lord, what does it mean for me in my context? What does it mean for my circumstance to step out onto the front line again? And let me close with this in Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Powerful, powerful place where He calls us to be heirs. We are part of the family. We are not, you know, and of a different level. He calls us as co-heirs with Christ. But there's an invitation not only to partake in the family business, but he recognizes there is a aspect of it that involves suffering and challenges and trials. But then on the other side, there's an element of the place where we experience the glory as well, the blessing, the fruitfulness, the blessing of partnering with God, the blessing of seeing lives transformed, the blessing of seeing the fruit of our labors. And that's what God is inviting us to. So come and hear my heart. Come and experience my heart for the nations. Come and experience my heart for souls in a way that you wouldn't be able to in a different context. And locally, we've set out three things for ourselves. We talked about neighborhoods to nations, reaching out locally, but also reaching out to the nations. We're talking about leaders to launch, and we call to care. Now, this has different repercussions in different communities. I want to really encourage you. As we're reaching out in Utrecht and in Switzerland, and as we're looking to join different mission teams, please keep your eyes and ears open. Jump in there if you have an opportunity to join. There's a team coming from South Africa at the end of the month, on a prayer mission. So I want to really encourage you. The guys, it's the first time I'm working with a specific guy, so I'm not sure whether he's not a detail kind of guy, but we're hoping for more details soon, and then we'll pass it on just to get us involved as much as we can. They're going to be in England and in Wales and Ireland and Scotland, so they're going all through the United Kingdom. And while they're in England specifically, we're going to just jump in there and pray with them. Leaders to launch, look out for the next leadership training if you missed out. Catch up online. The next one will be in August, which will be in conjunction with our local ministry conference. So please, this is one date that you can't miss, guys. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be life-changing. If you're a parent, you cannot miss it for sure, because we're going to have people coming to do the children's ministry. Isn't that amazing? So there's a team coming from Worcester in South Africa to do the children's ministry. So don't miss out on that. And in terms of you as a leader in your small group, in reaching out locally, get stuck in there, because there's no better time than right now to lead others to Christ, to lead others to lead others, to lead others. Amen. And in terms of being called to care, we're still involved in many ways in the local community. We'll be reaching out in terms of children's clubs over the holiday, Dave, locally, kids clubs. And there's a local estate, not just behind here, which we trust in God to make an impact in. So there's really great opportunities to see lives changed, to see the community transformed. I want to really encourage you, just ask. I believe God is asking that question. Where do we find ourselves in the picture? And is an invitation for us to join Him in the front line. I mean, let's stand, and we're gonna pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, that Lord Jesus, that you paid the highest price, God, that we can have life, that you can have an abundance of life, God. And Lord, what a privilege, God, that you invite us to be a part of what's on your heart, Lord, to be a part of you building your church. And thank you that we can see, Lord, even as we look at the reports from all over, Lord, from the ends of the earth, Lord, as you're building your church, as your word says, and the gates of hell will not prevail. We thank you, Jesus, for every soul that's coming in, Lord, as the gates of hell are giving way. We thank you for every person that's being saved, Lord, and in the most unreached groups, but also in Europe and in our nation, in our city, Lord. We thank you for souls that are being saved, God. We thank you for people that are being discipled, God. We thank you for lives that are being transformed, God. And this morning, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you praise, Lord, as we remember even how you have brought us from darkness into light, Lord, how you have redeemed us and saved us and healed us and restored us. And Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that as you minister to every heart now, I thank you, God, that there's an invitation for us this morning. A question and then an invitation. The question is, where are you? Where are you in the picture? Are you distracted with the blessings of life? Where are you in the picture, or are you ready to accept the invitation to join the Father, to join Jesus on the front line, to experience His heart for the lost, to partner with Him, to see souls saved, to see lives transformed? And as every eye is closed, if you have a desire to make that shift, if you know that you've been called and God is tugging at your heart to say, come, my son, my daughter, I want you to join me. Join me here. This is what I'm passionate about. This is what I gave my life for. If that's you this morning, maybe if you could just raise your hand for a moment, or we just want to pray together. Thank you, Father, Lord. Yeah, Lord, we bring our hearts before you, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. And as individuals, but also as a body, Lord, we declare, Lord, yes, God, we want to be a part of you building your church, and we want to see the gates of hell give way, and we want to see souls saved, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. And as Ronald Monker says, Lord, we want to see hell empty and heaven full. We want to see heaven filling up, Lord, in Jesus' name. So we thank you for a shift in our hearts today. We thank you that you do a shift, and that we would see the world differently, Lord. That we would, as you say, lift up our eyes, that we would see what you see, that we would recognize the harvest around us, Lord. Recognize the urgency of the harvest, Lord. Do a work of transformation in our hearts this morning, Father. Even in this week, Lord, that we would see the harvest that is ready, Lord. Even in our workplace, Lord. Even in our families where we live, Lord. Wherever we find ourselves, Lord. I thank you for an anointing this morning. I thank you for an opening of our eyes, an opening of our ears, softening of our hearts, Lord, to see that you are already busy, Father, around us. We are already at work, changing lives, transforming lives, God, in Jesus' name. So we bring our hearts before you, Lord, and say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Even Jesus, as you teach us to pray, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, God. And let your name be glorified, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for each one of us here, Lord. I thank you for this week, Lord. I thank you for divine appointments. I thank you for opportunities, Lord, for us to minister your love to people. And just as we in prayer now, if you could bring, while every eye is closed, if you can just bring two names before God, people that you that are in this area, people that you're connecting with, people at work maybe, or family members that you're trusting to be saved. Let's just bring two names before God right now. People that we want to invite to church, people that you want to invite to a social event or to a small group. Let's just bring those names before Him and then we can pray together. That because we see the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And that's why we pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Lord, we bring these people before you in the name of Jesus, God. You know them. You know them so intimately, Father. And this morning, this afternoon, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let your kingdom come in each of these lives and the families they represent and the communities that they represent, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you soften hearts that are hard. We pray, Lord, that you would remove obstacles that are standing in the way of people accepting your offer of eternal life, God, in Jesus' name. We pray, God, that you'd open doors into people's hearts, Lord. You'd show us keys, Lord, how to minister to specific people, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you open our eyes, that you show us opportunities that we can love people with your love, Lord. Your unconditional love, your self-sacrificing love, God. In Jesus' name. We bring them before you and we trust you for salvation, Lord. We trust you, you as the author of salvation, that you'd come and save to the uttermost, God. In Jesus' name. Save to the uttermost, God. Continue the work that you've started in their lives, Lord. And thank you that you bring it to completion, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay.
I just wanted to share because I work at Iceland and it can seem really mundane and boring. But I have a manager who's just been seeking after God and just so intrigued about my faith, and I gave him a Gideon's Bible that John and Risa gave me, and he's been reading it and really just devouring it, and every time I see him he asks me questions, and yesterday at work I'm stacking things and we just had an amazing conversation about faith, and he's just so seeking and he's so open. So I just wanted to agree with what you were saying about how the harvest genuinely is ready. And I was a bit unsure about giving him the Bible, but like he took it and he's reading it. Like he's quoting scripture to me. And just to encourage you to step out and just, yeah, because people are ready and receptive to, yeah.
Thanks, BC. Yeah, a friend of mine and I, the other day we met up, and part of what we do when we meet up is we just pray for people that we have, that we're trusting to be saved. And I said to him, listen, let's just pray for these specific people and let's trust God to move. And we came in agreement, we prayed for a few specific people, and the next day, the guy that he prayed for phoned him and said, why don't we go and have a drink? You know, we haven't seen each other in a while. And then also the same day, one of the guys I prayed for, I ran into him in a shop, but I don't actually go to often. And it's just amazing. I was just stunned because I just realized that God is ready. We're not waiting for God. Amen, guys. So I want to encourage us, put time in prayer for the guys. So in prayer. And let's trust God to move. He's sovereign. Amen. Thanks. Amen, guys. If you need any prayer, guys, please join us in the front. If you have any prayer to do with the message, but also any other prayer need, I'd love to pray with you. Amen. God bless you. Amen.